the best in chat radio designed just for you.
To Medicine on Call. I took a couple of, a couple of weeks off because I've been promoting my book, Big Medicine, The Cost of Corporate Control, How Doctors and Patients Working Together Can Rebuild a Better System. And one of the things I've noticed and learned in this round robin of interviews is that people really don't have any conception of what's wrong with the healthcare system and where it's going. We talk about it, we have talked about it for the past 3 years or so, and even I'm still amazed at how bad this is getting and how quickly it's going there. You know, I read an article yesterday in something called Technocracy News, which talked about the federal government going to companies like Ancestry.com in order to get the DNA from their customers. Now, I know you've seen this commercial, right, Dave, where somebody says, oh, they thought they were German, and it turns out they were Irish.
Right.
And they gave their DNA to try to figure out what their family tree was.
Right.
You've seen that, right? I mean, it's pretty innocuous. You think, oh, okay, that's kind of neat. Maybe I'd want to do that. But in light of this information, you probably don't want to do that. What turns out that somebody was questioned by the police and had to be ruled out as a suspect because somebody close to him genetically was, their DNA was found at a crime scene. Now, this guy had nothing to do with it. It was just that it was a familial relative, you know, possibly. And they just imagined this going across the board, across the country. You've just now, without any informed consent, gave your data, your DNA, which is your blueprint, to the government to sift through and do what it will. Of course, nothing's foolproof. There can be some mistake, some sort of, you know, inconsistency that puts you on the radar for being a criminal until proven otherwise. And of course, you know, DNA can be, it can be used against you if it's not, you know, captured in the right way, or it's not really, it doesn't have a frame of reference for why they're using it. It's just there. And so everybody is on the hook now. It's like pre-crime and, you know, Minority Report. And I don't think people really understand that. I thought it was bad enough when people were giving their information on Facebook, putting pictures up, telling people where they're going on vacation, all sorts of personal data. That was bad enough. But this takes it to a whole new level.
All right, you know, Dr. George, I got to interrupt, and as you were talking, I was just thinking about, look at all the hackers that have gotten into the CIA. They've gotten into Hillary's server. They've gotten into the FBI. I mean, you know, you're opening yourself up for a train wreck.
You are. I mean, the Internet is certainly not foolproof. It is an open data market, essentially. And the more you voluntarily put on it, the more you're actually opening yourself up for nefarious, you know, people who mean you harm or want to take your identity or seize your bank account or pretend they're you. I mean, this is just amazing. It's a whole free-for-all, and you have to prove that you're the victim. I mean, you're pretty basically guilty until proven innocent. He had to go through the process of removing himself from the, you know, taking himself off the hook. He had to prove why he wasn't a criminal. That's not, you know, obviously not the American way. It used to be that you were innocent until proven guilty. It seems like we're moving to the Napoleonic code where you're guilty until proven innocent. And that's amazing. It just shocks me that the government can come in and just take stuff like that without cause, just because they're sifting data. And I think I talked about it about a month ago, how they're commingling fingerprints now. So, you know, doctors, teachers, anybody who deals with the public, police officers, et cetera, you have to give your fingerprint to a background check, even if you're credentialing at a hospital. Well, they're now going to commingle citizens who are doing this because they have to for their job. Their data is going to be commingled into the criminal fingerprint database. Can you believe that? So when they sift through criminal files, you are in that system as well. I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. So everybody now is a criminal until proven otherwise, whether they're a citizen or not. They've never committed a crime, but it's like almost like a legal search and seizure, if you really want to think about it that way.
It's terrible. What can you say? You know, it's beyond belief of what's going on today. And, you know, they had already done that with the military. You have to be fingerprinted when you join the military. And this goes back for years and years and years. And, of course, they say, oh, well, it's only so if anything happens, we can get your identity. Well, it already, unbeknownst to the military, they had already commingled all of that information. So it's just one more big brother on you.
Absolutely. I mean, that NSA, those big data gathering, you know, locations throughout the country, it's not just, you know, benign things, or should say criminals and terrorists that they're putting on this database list. It's everybody from cradle to grave. I mean, they take your DNA as when your child is born, they take that child's DNA, their cord blood, their DNA fingerprint is in the system from the time you're born. Now, that began maybe about, I don't know, maybe about 15 years ago or so. I mean, we're out of that loop, you and I. We're too old, thank God, to enter that system. But this is something that is not told to the parent. There, again, the basic premise in this discussion today is the term informed consent. If you can't consent to something because you don't know all of the positives and negatives, then you didn't get informed consent. Someone has taken away your right to make a conscious decision of whether or not you want to partake in something, whether that's getting a vaccine, whether that's having a physical exam done, whether that's having a surgery. It doesn't. It's just pervaded the entire system where you get half-truths, some of the information, in order to drive them, somebody to tell you that you have to do it for your own good, for the good of the collective. It's just never in your interest to make a decision that you don't know what the pros and cons of are. Someone's just deciding it for you. I don't believe that people, if they really understood it in that term, would really say yes to most of the things that go on.
No, I don't either. But we have to be informed of what's going on.
Well, it's true, but you also have to want to be informed. I mean, this is a combination of a couple of problems. We ceded our authority, most of us, you know, in our country. Parents are deciding that the school gets to decide whether or not their children get birth control information or whether they get a vaccine in school. Parents just left that on the playing field. And so in California, for example, talked about it before, your child, according to their system, can consent to vaccines, to sex ed, to condoms. It should not be the child's choice to make that decision if they're under 18. It should be the parent's decision. But, you know, the mindset of this system is that the state becomes the parent. Government becomes the parent. The parents are removed from the system in terms of making choices for them and their children because they're too stupid to do so, I guess. And now it's being legislated into that. California is just, I'm not sure there's a reason to go to California anymore. I mean, they've just gone to the pendulum has swung completely in the opposite direction now.
Well, you've got Moonbeam out there, so I guess he's contacting the stars or whatever.
You've heard of the law he just signed into effect that even if you're a Christian organization or you're for women's health care, and you don't offer, it's a free choice, right to life type of mentality or credo for your organization, you actually have to post abortion information. You don't have to talk about it, but you have to put it on the walls, give people literature. People obviously chose to go to these places because they don't want to go through the abortion process. But now they're being forced in California to put it in their face. And they're saying it's not about free speech. I don't know what it's about. But, I mean, this is the unbelievable. I mean, everybody has to just get it. You don't have choice of what you want to do with your body. Isn't that the whole point of their movement? You have the choice. You have the right to choose. Well, people have chosen that they don't want an abortion. They want to have their child. They want to actually not do, go the opposite route of Planned Parenthood, but that's not good enough because that choice, because it's against them, should not be a choice. Talk about bullying.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just beyond belief. And there was, I can't understand how anybody can be pro Planned Parenthood at this point, but, you know.
It's obvious it's a money-making venture. You know, abortion is not about the right to choose. It's about the right to make money. They're making hand-over-fist money, selling baby parts, making money from the government. There's no reason for them to actually have any money from the government. Meanwhile, I think it's also illegal, isn't it? The government's not supposed to use taxpayer money to pay for abortion. Isn't that a law?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they're giving money for the $500 million, whatever it is, some crazy amount of money, while these people already make a profit. Their powers that be travel first class, living large on the government dole, and they're still asking for more money, and they're making money by selling fetal tissue. You get to triple dip in this instance and then say you're still a victim? I mean, really? I mean, the fact that they lied, they got caught on tape, and then said it wasn't me. You didn't see or hear what you thought you heard. I mean, how dumb do they really think that we are, honestly?
I think
mind-boggling.
I think we talked about it or anyway, exchanged notes when you were here the last time about the fact that, and this bothers me immensely, you know, we have the big picture of Planned Parenthood, but if you start digging, and this is where the corruption and the, you just wonder how deep the garbage goes. You have the lady that's in charge, Cecile Richards,
mm-hmm.
and they never go into her, you know, that's not her last name, that's her maiden name. And come to find out, you know, she's the daughter of Ann Richards, who was the governor of Texas, and
almost.
You know. And, you know, you just wonder how deep is all of this in getting her that position and getting other people positions. And then, like you said, it all turns into the money machine. How do we make big money out of this? And I just, you know, with that organization, I don't smell a rat. I smell a bunch of rats.
Well, it's a complete... It's interesting how this works. It always has this cloak of being benign. It's all about women's health, mammograms, helping women make decisions that they, you know, paying for health care that women can't afford as if women are, as a group, complete victims. But underneath it, women are being used as money-making mill. That's really what it comes down to. You know, I don't personally subscribe to abortion. I don't. If you want to do that, then you should have the right to do it if you want to, but I should not have to pay for it. You know, you cannot have it both ways. This is a choice. You know, you can choose not to get pregnant, really. But I don't believe that I should be forced, my ethical, moral, you know, my rights should be trumped on because of choices that you make. Personal responsibility really does come into play. They're acting like things happen that they can't, that people can't control. Yes, you can. And certainly if people were paying for these things as opposed to having them paid for them, I mean, once you subsidize an action, you're going to get more of it, right?
Absolutely. Let's stop here and let people digest what you just said, and we'll come back with Medicine on Call right after a couple of words.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably notice that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your health care choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage, and we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, this is a system. We're talking in the break about not being able to know what the cost of something is and then being mandated, coerced, forced to purchase something that you don't want, you don't need, that it's against your moral, ethical underpinnings, and you should like it. I mean, it's just unconscionable. We're now in this, I don't even know what year of Obamacare we're in. It's just like a black hole. It just gets worse. But now it's going to cost over $600 for the fine. You know, start off at 90. Now it's moving to 600. It's going to move to 1% of your yearly income at some point. So it's going to go up. But you know what? The sad part about this is, Dave, is that even when it goes to its 1%, most likely still will be less to take the fine than it will to be to buy this supposed insurance. I talked to a patient last night who told me that even though he has insurance, he's paid over $11,000 out of pocket for himself and his family this past year in out-of-pocket costs because he has deductible, and then he has a co-insurance, and he has to pay 20% of whatever the bill is after he meets his, I think it was a $1,500 deductible. So he's now paying $12,000 in insurance, another $11,000 out-of-pocket, and that's not the end point because he's had other things are coming that he'll have to pay for down the road. So, I mean, just imagine coming out of $25,000, $30,000 a year in health care costs when you are promised that if you sign on to this, give your family over to the system, you're going to pay only $1,500 a year. You're going to pay, you're going to be subsidized for your premiums. That's not how this works. It's whack-a-mole. You've actually maybe subsidized maybe about half a percent of the people in the system. Everybody else is paying for those few people. And quite frankly, those people who are in the system aren't even getting what they said they were going to get. They're not really getting the medications that they're supposed, that the doctors order, because they're not on formulary. They're not getting procedures or lab tests done because they're not medically necessary or experimental or not covered. And they can't even see a doctor to get into the system to get a prescription because the doctors are, on most of them, growing number, are on staff of a hospital and have to play the game of the hospital. In the break, you're talking to me about your doctor not being able to tell you how much something is. He sold his practice to the hospital. He probably doesn't know because it's driven by the system of the hospital. They set the rate. The doctor's just there to code, but he doesn't really have, he doesn't get the money back into his office. It goes to the hospital. He gets a paycheck biweekly or, you know, bimonthly, sorry. So he's probably right. He lost autonomy on what he could charge. He can't negotiate a contract with an insurance company. It's all centralized. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that they're ripping people off 24/7 on how much they're charging you, how much they actually take in, and you're now, the doctor and the patient, has become a cost center. It's all about their bottom line, making their board happy, paying their CEO salaries, and quite frankly, removing their competition. And by any means necessary, they do it 24/7. And if they could be the only hospital system in town, that's what they're aiming for.
You know, let me ask you, would you go and buy a painting, or would you buy a new television, or would you buy a car? And, well, Dr. George, I'll just deliver your car, and then a couple of weeks I'll send you a bill for it.
Mm-hmm. No. No, you wouldn't buy anything without knowing the price of it. I mean, unless you're, you know, fabulously wealthy maybe, but most people can't do that. And they don't do it. They shop around. They go, they price compare. They get coupons. They do things that mean that they're interested in what the bottom line is. But when it comes to healthcare, they seem to just have amnesia or lose their minds on the fact that, yeah, I have no choice. I must do this. I'm a victim, and I just feel like there's no other way for me except to do this. There isn't. You don't have to do this. You know, the whole purpose of our show is to give you options and to wake you up to the fact that this system is broken, that the system is not generating health. It's not driven by the want to make people healthy. It's driven by wanting to keep people on a medication, keeping you chronically within a system where you have to give treatment for it. When you really need it and you're really sick, they're going to put you in a hospice, and your doctors have been co-opted, coerced in some instances, to work against you so the system perpetuates itself. I mean, I can't put it any plainer than that. But you have choices, and one of the first choices you have is don't get sick, right? If you're not sick, you're not on these medications, you've already won. You're already 99% ahead of the game. As soon as you fall into the system with a disease, with a chronic process, they got you, or at least they think they've got you. I mean, they're removing holistic doctors. I think there's 12 doctors now of alternative care, natural or integrative doctors. They're dead. I don't know what's the story with that, but it's very odd. But the leaders in the field of natural treatments, of wellness, are being removed systematically. Supplements are under attack. Anything that can help people arm themselves and help themselves and make conscious choices are being removed. Either they're being physically removed by having doctors that treat these things or think this way removed, or they're trying their darndest to get rid of supplements. The Codex Alimentarius, which I think is a UN-driven system to try to remove supplements. But remember, everything in the UN is corporate driven in some sense. Some transnational corporation is in the ear of the UN, writing treaties, writing legislation, global legislation, that basically works in the interest of the transnational corporation. That's exactly what the TPP is going to do. Everybody is talking about, free trade. It's not free trade. It's free corporate trade. So that you have to use their stuff. You can't have any autonomy. Copyright laws are going to come into effect, which will muzzle people from telling the truth on the Internet. And from a medical perspective, trust and believe that medication is going to get more expensive. You're not going to be able to. They already put a moratorium on generics, so that if, and this is really sick, if you make a medication that only helps a small number of people, you know, it's not a very common disease, you get to control that, and that medicine can be used for something else. Let me give you an example. I think there's HIV drugs that can be used for people who don't have HIV and people who have other medical problems. Well, if your medication helps an HIV, something that's very esoteric, you get to apply that carve-out that, how can I put it? It has to stay brand, can't go generic, longer than if you don't. Now, this medicine's been around forever. So let's say tetracycline. I'm giving you just a random example. If that medication, that antibiotic's been around for for generations. But they find that they can use it for an orphan disease, something that's really very rare. Then they can take that medication, which is pennies on the dollar, and then push it into the system of, it's a unique medication we're using for a unique purpose, therefore we have to control the market share and the cost of it. It goes up 300-400%, and you can't make a generic to it. That's what they've done under the TPP. So now I understand now why we're seeing generics that are used to be pennies on the dollar, now $500 or $600 for treatment, because this law, without anybody voting on it, without anybody knowing it, it's gone into effect. And it only serves the pharmaceutical industry. So they're now, they don't have to create new medications anymore. They can just say, well, it's been around for 50 years, but it can be used for this medical condition that nobody has or very few people have. So we're producing it. We need to make a profit on it because there's not many people who have it. And there you go. It's just amazing. So it's going to get harder to treat people. It's going to get more expensive to treat people. And unless you have money, they're going to decide, really, as I said before, who lives and who dies. Winners and losers are getting picked by the government, not you, not your doctor.
You know, it's very easy to have a whole lot more respect for the armed bandit than it is for the armed pharmaceutical that either way they're holding you up. But at least you see the guy that is holding you up in a robbery.
Hey, at least you know where you stand. No one's telling you that they love you while they pick your pocket or put a gun to you. Nobody's doing that, right? It's just straight up. But it's on us to make to dig deeper, to look at the underpinnings of what's being told to us. All I'd say is follow the money. Because when you do that, a lot of things become really obvious as to why something's being pushed. Vaccines are a perfect example. Talked about a lot on the show. But because they passed a law in 86 that gave immunity to vaccine makers so that if there was disease, death, whatever happened that was untoward, it could not be sued. That's ridiculous. And what that meant was you went from no vaccines essentially being made to over 100 in the pipeline, you know, partially tested, questionable effectiveness, you know, no long-term studies, where they're now in the pipeline, like California, to mandate whatever comes down the pipe. Just imagine what they're going to mandate. AIDS vaccine, Ebola vaccine, all these things that they, MERS vaccine, sorry, I mean, I can just imagine, smoking cessation vaccine, anti-obesity vaccine, so you can't get angry vaccine, you know, a feel-good vaccine. You name it, they're coming up with it. And these vaccines aren't benign. They alter your DNA. They turn on, they destroy receptors. They do things that are not reversible. And as soon as your DNA gets altered, first of all, who really knows what that does down the road? The body is extremely complex. You start turning on and off genes. What is the unexpected consequence of something that may have been suppressed when the gene was working the way God designed versus what you did to it? I mean, all these things just never get, no one ever asks that question about what if. It's just, let's just do it and see what happens after the fact. Whatever you do to one person, they're going to pass it genetically to their children, so you've actually altered the course of human existence, potentially, that you may not be able to reverse, right? I mean, it's not sci-fi here. This is living. This is real life here. I don't want to be any part of that. I don't want it injected into me. And you don't know what's best for me. I get to decide that. As soon as people really start standing up and taking back control of their bodies, their minds, maybe this would stop.
Let's take a break on that, and when we get back, we'll talk about one of the vaccines that everybody knows about, and before they've even given it out, they've said it's not going to work this year. So we'll be back with more Medicine on Call right after this.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, you're talking about the flu shot before the break. And you're right, I remember reading and hearing that they don't have the right strains of the flu virus this year. So really, there's absolutely no reason to take the flu vaccine since they've already told you it's not going to work. But you're right. I mean, there's mandates in the hospitals that you have to take the vaccine or you can't come into the hospital as a doctor or you have to wear a mask. I'm like, I'm happy to wear the mask. No problem at all. And I have, you know, resigned from hospital staff that mandate and coerce doctors and anybody who works in the system, even if you're selling surgical equipment and you come into that hospital, you have to be vaccinated. You have to prove that you're vaccinated. And you know what's arbitrary and really ironic? You're more likely to get a communicable disease in the hospital as a patient than outside the hospital. The resistant E. coli, the MRSA, all this stuff. If it's so clean and wonderful, why are you on the hook to get some catastrophic, you know, infection in the hospital? And they're so concerned about flu vaccines. Maybe they should clean their ducts and their ventilating systems and their cooling systems so people don't get, you know, Legionnaires' disease or whatever is going on with the new disease of the week in one of these hospitals. I mean, it's just completely hypocritical. No thought involved. Nobody takes any consideration into what if you don't respond well to a vaccine? What if you have an allergy? What if, you know? What if it does cause autism and you're injecting children with these vaccines? Are you really willing to take a chance for potential possible coverage? And if it covered so well, why do you keep needing boosters, you know? I mean, just common sense things. And the fact that they're just unwilling to be flexible. And the whole argument of herd immunity doesn't seem to make sense to them. If you vaccinate a certain percentage of the people in, according to the herd immunity theory, you basically protected the entire system because even if somebody has it, it's going to be pretty self-limited. Why does everybody have to be 100% vaccination for what? It doesn't even make sense on any level from the herd immunity standpoint, unless you're talking about money.
It makes sense if you put sound effects with every shot, every vaccine that was given, and as the injection was going in, you heard ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. It makes sense.
That would be kind of funny. It's, you know, interesting. I kind of like that, actually. But that's only one half of the flu argument. The other half is the medication that they try to push you on, the Tamiflu. I forget the other one, what it's called. The Tamiflu is the big one. And there's a study that just came out, independent review of the efficacy or how well it works. First of all, it only limits your flu symptoms by a day. Number two, there is no, when they started looking at the actual results, they found that the negative results were hidden and they only pushed the positive results. So there's a question, huge question, as to whether it's worth taking at all, since it really doesn't stop you from passing the flu to somebody else. It limits it maybe by a day. It doesn't keep you from getting pneumonia and other complications. That's the whole point of the flu vaccine, of taking it, right? So you don't get the flu, you don't end up in the hospital. But the actual results, when you look at the complete result, the positive and the negative, there really isn't an advantage to taking it. But it's, governments have bought, you know, huge amounts in order to protect the population. You know, the UN pushes it. But again, informed consent. People need to be told that, you know, maybe you might limit it by a day. You're still probably, it's not going to decrease your risk of getting pneumonia. If you have a healthy immune system and you eat properly, sleep properly, you know, do the normal things like wash your hands, you're less likely to get the flu in the first place. And if you do, it's more likely to be a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, and self-limited because your immune system is strong enough to actually get rid of it. I mean, these are some things that we never get told. Only one conversation is had. Take the vaccine, shut up. If you don't, we're taking something from you. No, it's unbelievable. But as long as we sit there and do it, they'll keep pushing it on us.
We're suckers. It reminds me of the old saying, when you get a cold, you can take all this stuff and you'll get over it in 7 days. If you don't take anything, you'll get over it in a week.
Exactly. Well, let me actually read this to you because I found it. So the World Health Organization, which is part of the UN, classifies Tamiflu as, quote, an essential medicine, which they say are, quote, selected with due regard to public health relevance, evidence on efficacy and safety, and comparative cost effectiveness, which is a lie. I just told you why. So this is actually what the study revealed. And the other drug was called Relivio. And both drugs shorten the duration of flu symptoms by less than a day, specifically by just 16.8 hours. Tamiflu did not affect the number of hospitalizations. Relenza trials did not record this data. So they didn't even record any data at all about whether hospitalizations were avoided. The effects of the drugs on pneumonia and other flu complications were unreliably reported and included limitations in diagnostic criteria and problems with missing follow-up on participants. So they didn't even prove that the people, they didn't even ask people to follow up and follow up with how the drug worked. They're just telling you this is what happened. And last, Tamiflu was associated with nausea, vomiting, headaches, kidney problems, and psychiatric events, and may induce serious heart rhythm problems. So really, do you really want to become psychotic, end up with heart problems or kidney problems for 16.8 hours decrease in your flu symptoms? I mean, if people knew this, they wouldn't take it, right?
It sounds like I'm going to pull one on you. I'm going to check on you, Dr. George, and see how far back in the history you go. It sounds to me like you could put an asphyxiety bag around your neck and do about as well.
I mean, it's just unconscionable, and it's criminal. I mean, one of the conclusions in the article is that the drug makers hid negative data from the public, not just from the public, but from the CDC. So the FDA, as I said before, is really very closely tied to the pharmaceutical industry. It's a revolving door between their executives and the FDA. So there's another quote. The FDA knew about the fact that Tamiflu didn't work, but the medical community did not. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which doesn't have the same access to unpublished data as regulators, had recommended the drug without being able to see the full picture. So we're giving people who don't really have the raw data, our powers that be, who make these pronouncements and mandates on high. Everybody needs a flu vaccine. Everybody should have their children vaccinated with, you know, 80 shots before they're 12. You know, all these things that are being mandated are based on partial information that are given to them by the drug companies, who have admitted that they kind of make stuff up. They don't do follow-up on their patients. They're not doing the due diligence, and they literally just ignore and don't publish the negative parts of the data. How do you think recalls keep happening when they have these side effects? Because they come to market with partial truths, partial promises, and then when stuff hits the fan, then the trial lawyers swoop in to make their buck. It's a completely, it's disgusting what goes on in this system. They're driving the medical, it's like the fox guarding the hen house. They're making up the criteria which makes up what makes someone hypertensive, diabetic, obese. They're changing these numbers constantly to make them lower so more people fall into the pool of people who have the disease who need to be treated. Then they tell you the medication, or get to decide, the medication that treats these diseases, knowing full well that there may be issues with them. One, they don't work. That's the best case scenario. Two, they actually hurt you. Or three, you know, I guess, what else could there be? Either they hurt you, that's enough, right? But they're being pushed into the formulary of evidence-based medicine under the Affordable Care Act, where this is all you have to choose from as a doctor making the decisions for your patient. You know, it's not, you don't get to choose vitamin D for flu. That's not a choice in your formulary. It's Tamiflu, or it's a flu vaccine for prevention. It doesn't make sense, does it?
You know, I was kidding about the asphidity bag, but, you know, correct me, but I feel like all of this stuff is pushing us back in the future, you know, back to the past where, and like you said, people have to learn how to take care of themselves, to be healthy, not need to go to the doctor, not need to go and get a prescription every time you turn around. And this is going to, you know, folk medicine, it worked. People laughed at taking mm-hmm. honey, but it works, you know. People laugh at taking vitamin D, but it works. And I think people are going to have to get quickly educated on what do I do when I have this, or what can I turn to? And, you know, at my tender age, I have some aches and pains. Well, there's a very good product on the market for inflammation besides going and getting a steroid shot. Instead of that, wild cherry juice and dried cherries. You eat them, and it's amazing what they'll do to inflammation.
Or eating or drinking lemons and limes, which are alkaline, or apple cider vinegar, which cuts the acid in your system because acid leads to inflammation and pain. So there's lots of ways to handle this that don't need you to take Advil or anything else that actually has, you know, everything that we prescribe or that you take over the counter is a controlled poison. It really is.
Sure.
That's why they have limits on dosage, because at some point you reach it passes the effectiveness and starts to become harmful. So the less you take, the better off you'll be, quite frankly. And it really does come down to the basics. Eating properly, getting quality sleep, watching what you put in your body. And that means supplements that are, and let's go back to supplements for a second. There are a study that came out talked about how bad vitamins are and that people shouldn't take them. That's another thing that's come out recently. But it's really all designed to turn people away from supplements, as if taking a prescription drug is safer in some manner. It's all driving that mindset. People need to understand the average vitamin that's produced is not really what it says it is. Vitamin E has a petroleum base to it. Petroleum, you know, like from the oil industry. Of course that's not going to be medicinal, because you're taking a toxin to your body. So you need to really pick and choose where you buy your vitamins. I don't subscribe to any big box store. I don't go into them. I don't purchase anything from them. because I don't trust them. Because they're going to give you the cheapest crap that they can possibly give you, and you're paying for value. But honestly, it's come down to you have to pay for if you want value, you have to pay for it. It may not be as much as you think it's going to be, but it's certainly not going to be pennies on the dollar. And anything like GNC and Walmart and all these other places, they're not sourcing from small organic places. They generally don't. They're getting it from China. They're getting it from India. They're getting it from the cheap generic, you know, manufacturers, so they can pass along the savings to you. But what you're getting is filler. You're getting, you know,
Dr. George, I got to interrupt.
Or a little vitamin associated with it.
We got to
take a break.
Yeah, we need to take our last break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you will be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, I think what people really, besides doing your own research and doing your own due diligence, I think you really have to take a very hard look at your choices. And if you're happy, if you're happy with what's going on, that's awesome. And by all means, stay the course. But you're going to have to make choices now in order to remove yourself from this system. It's becoming, we already know it's too big to fail, but it's becoming mercenary in its approach where it's systematically removing choice or trying to think, make you think that you don't have a choice. And if you don't pay attention to this, you can actually fall into the trap pretty quickly. I mean, the Affordable Care Act is one minefield that people, you know, I understand why they might have fallen into it because it was virtual. It hadn't come online yet. It was a promise. It all sounded great. So let's see what happens. Now that we've gone through a year of this, and people have actually studied or articles have come out very clearly that people who were in Obamacare actually have opted away from it. They didn't re-up this year. The total number of people in the system has remained static and actually have dropped from about 9 million to, I think, 12 million to now 9. And after they got rid of the people who weren't eligible, the illegal immigrants who came over who actually got into the system, they finally removed those. So that dropped the numbers further. They're trying to actually put them into place now to actually cover them under the Affordable Care Act. It's so desperate just trying to get people any number they can get into the system to try to make it look like it's viable is actually what they're doing. But at this point, $695 fine for not joining the Affordable Care Act, you know, it's still, for some people, they'd rather pay that than not join the Affordable Care Act. And in the commercials, you hear them all the time on the radio station, the medical cost-sharing option is viable. The direct primary care option, which is now we're working on, the government, doctors are now trying to get the government to cover direct primary care as a choice of how you get treated versus the Affordable Care Act, which is, again, a fraction of what it costs to join the Affordable Care Act. I mean, do you really want to pay $25,000, upwards of $25,000 for your family? And when the Cadillac tax kicks in, that's going to be a 75% surcharge on those plans. It's going to go up through the roof. Nobody's going to be able to afford them. Or do you want to pay $65 a month for an individual, maybe $120 a month for a family that covers everything that goes on in the office, from office visits, EKGs, lab work, even prescriptions, where you don't have to wait for hours, where you're not paying $300 or $400 just for the privilege of seeing a PA who sends you to a specialist or going to an ER. I mean, the system is so awful that you're not even getting health care. The average person who walks into the emergency room now, unless they have a heart attack or stroke, they're not getting treated. They're actually getting a referral to go see a specialist. A friend of mine's sister had a heart attack. Shocking. She didn't have insurance, but that should have been no problem, right? As soon as she was stabilized, they actually sent her home with a referral for a cardiology workup. I mean, they didn't even bother to actually get a cardiologist to see her in the hospital. Case management kicked her out because they weren't going to make any money on her. And they just basically treat you and street you. That's what it's about now. So if you really want care, you have to literally go to an independent doctor, independent facility that is not owned by a hospital, that is freestanding, that actually has their prices listed, price transparency, so you know exactly what you're getting and you can actually shop around. That's where the value is. That's where the quality care is. In Atlanta, there's a consortium of independent doctors that work away from the hospital system. And it includes an urgent care, general surgery. I'm the ear, nose, and throat. There have family practice, GYN, psychiatry, GI, neurology. It's all fee-for-service, and it's a fraction of what you're paying. And you know how much it is before you walk in the door. And there's no surprises. And you're seen by an MD, and if it takes an hour to get through the visit, then so be it. Is that the kind of health, if that's the kind of health care you want, it's there for you. And if you're, you know, unsure about how to pay for something like that, then you need to look at things like Liberty HealthShare or Samaritan or MediShare. And I actually belong to Liberty HealthShare. I said it before, full disclosure. I believe in it. I put my office staff on it. I am paying, for all of us, less than $1,000 a month for coverage of my office. And they're now paying a maximum of $500 out of pocket if they see a doctor or go to an ER or go to a dentist or whatever they're going to. It's covered. And they're not worried about being able to afford it. And they're covered up to $1 million per occurrence per year. Why would anybody, I don't understand, why would anybody, if they knew this, want to stay in a commercial insurance system where they're telling you what gets covered, they're denying you care, they're making you pay on the front end with a premium, on the back end with a deductible and a co-insurance. They're controlling your health savings account. Why would you want to be in that system when you really need it? And I can tell you firsthand, because it happens to us all the time, they say that they are approved something. They get you, go through the pre-cert. They deny you after the service is done, and you're stuck on the hook to pay for it. Or worse yet, for the doctor, I just did a free service and I can't get paid for it. I mean, this is a system that's completely rigged. I think that they're getting every ounce of money they possibly can out of the patient and the doctor until it moves into the single-payer phase. And that's, I think, what we're seeing. We're seeing the come before the finishing of the healthcare system as we know it. They're going to gouge. They're going to make as much money as they can. They're going to double, triple dip. And then when the people get so fed up and cry for the government to kick in and single payer finally kicks in and their profits stop, that's where we are. It's just, it's a pendulum that's in the process of swinging towards them. It's time for you to jump off, you know, the swinging pendulum and make your own decisions while you still can.
People just have to do it. They have to take the reins, the horse by the reins, and guide their own ship, you know.
They'll be much happier for it. They'll have much more autonomy. They'll actually get better care. I mean, the whole point of the show for the past 4 years has been empowerment. I suggest humbly that you read my book, because if you do, you'll understand how it really happened, who the players are. It goes into more detail than I can on the show. And you'll understand what the driving forces are. So it gives you the power to make a choice as opposed to being driven by fear. Fear is what gets you killed. Fear is what gets you put into the poorhouse. Fear is what gets you to run afoul of the government. When you think clearly and you have control over the situation, then it's a much calmer existence. I have to tell you, your stress is gone. You're now in control of your destiny. Sounds kind of, you know, out there, but isn't that what it's all about? Why should the government get to control you like a puppet master when you should be controlling yourself and your family and your choices? I just throw that out there. It's all about choice. You can choose to do what you're doing, hope for a different result, or you can actually make a move. It may be uncomfortable at first, but I can assure you it's one of the best things I ever did personally, and I'm not looking back. And if I can give people the empowerment or the courage to do what I did, I can tell you're going to be very happy when you reach the other side.
By the way, we want to remind everybody they can go to our website, click on Liberty on Call, and find out all about Liberty HealthShare. Very easy to do. And it's about that time, Dr. George, and we're going to have to end it for today. I want to thank you, as always, for a great show. You're such a pioneer in the field, and it takes people like you, and you're a leader, and we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate everybody who listens. And go to drleonardgeorge.com, and you can find out more about the book and read some of my blogs if you already haven't. And I look forward to talking with you soon.
We'll be back with Dr. George next week on Medicine on Call.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.